There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
In the decade of the 2020s, even the great cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul were not spared the woes of contemporary life. And at times of fear and confusion, the job of entertaining the public was the responsibility of MyTalk 107.1, a great metropolitan radio station whose reputation for laughter and giving back to the community had become a symbol of hope for the Twin Cities.
MyTalk 107.1 presents Jason Matheson, Alexis Thompson, Holly Roberts. Jason and Alexis in the morning with Holly Roberts.
Now complete with all three of those people.
Woo-hoo!
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the third hour of Jason and Alexis in the morning, live on MyTalk 107.1, everything entertainment, everything. Holly is still shaving her feet. That's right.
Time.
Oh my gosh, that studio, I can barely see you in there. Looks like tumbleweeds.
I know.
Again, don't put that hair down the drain. Just speaking from a family of plumbers. Just, Holly, just collect it in a bag if you could, please.
Noted.
Dumpster in the back.
Exactly.
I'll help.
Just put it by B. Arthur's office. It's Tuesday, January 17th, 2023. I'm Jay's election, Holly. It is so good to be back with you, my talkers. I missed you guys. I told Alexis and Holly I popped out of bed like some sort of Pop-Tart. I couldn't wait to get to work and make you laugh or try to make you laugh with some stories of our adventures over the last few weeks.
Yes.
And we'll begin with that. So.
Ooh. You almost got in a fight?
Oh,
I did.
What?
I did. Now, over the years, you've heard a couple of these stories. Like a couple New Year's ago, you'll remember Lex, the guy. I was sitting at a bar and this guy made like a limp wrist kind of gesture because he went to take my seat and he's like, oh, sorry. And he did a lisp and he did. And I throttled him. Like I put my chest up to his. I'm like, do you got a problem? Like, what did you just do? Mm-hmm. And Colin's like, who are you?
He's anyway, like, hot. Do it again, daddy.
Yeah, I know. This one wasn't quite as intense, but.
Okay, kind of good.
But kind of equally gross.
Oh, great.
And it speaks to also kind of a gross theme throughout the 2 weeks, mainly in Hawaii.
Okay.
And that is some tourists are just gross. And people still don't know how to behave in public from the pandemic. People really do not know how to treat other people. And it's something that we've seen over the last couple years. But now that we're 3 years from the shutdown, I would think people would have calmed down. But we know a lot of service industry folks. We know a lot of bartenders and a lot of servers that because we frequent the same places, we've come to know a lot, like some legitimate friends of ours are in the service industry at either Orlando or now in Hawaii. And I'm sad to report that we hear the same thing from all of them. And this is consistent. Different people, different bars, different restaurants, and they all say people are still disgusting. People are still rude. They're entitled. They speak to service industry employees like crap. No. They have a level of entitlement that they did not have pre-pandemic. That is actually the sentence that we heard most of all from a wide swath of people that we know and encountered in our 2 weeks. And again, we know a good number of servers and bartenders. Because we gravitate toward them and they're great people and they're a hell of a lot of fun. But all of them in their own way say that people have a level of entitlement that was not there in like 2019. And it hasn't gone away. Yeah, I found it. I know I found it interesting as well. Now, so this story is kind of like that. It falls under that umbrella. It was one of the days we were at Disney's Aulani, which is on Oahu, about 40 minutes or so from Waikiki. And it was a pool day. So we're sitting by the pool and we have our chairs. And behind us, there's like a family of like 7 or 8, maybe even 9. And they were kind of took this whole corner of this pool area. It took like 9, 10 chairs. And obviously they were either all family members or maybe some friends that came with the family, whatever. It was just a big group.
Okay.
And there's one guy that seemed to kind of be an outlier. Like, you know, we were there all day and we were hearing their conversations behind us because we were there for most of the day. And I could kind of tell that this guy wasn't really like an uncle. He didn't really have a kid, I don't think, in the group. I think we kind of got the impression that he was a friend that kind of traveled with this family. Anyway, he was an asshat. Mm-hmm. He was just a real jerk. And every time he did the thing that just makes me, other than graffiti on private businesses, I get a visceral reaction. Like I just want to punch somebody. Like I just get, and that is when people hold like a cup up or a plate or whatever, and they hold it up and they don't make eye contact with the server.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a gesture of they're below them. And this guy was kind of behaving in this manner with a really, we had the same server, the same pool attendant. She was delightful. Like if she was bad, I would tell you, I would say, okay, she wasn't the best,
yeah.
But she was so sweet. She was so kind and attentive and attentive in an environment where she's running and gunning. Like she has half of the pool area. These pool servers, y'all have no idea unless you are a server and you're nodding your head in your car right now.
Yeah. They big sections.
Big sections.
Tray full all the time.
Tray full. And they're working their butt off. And this guy was routinely throughout the course of the afternoon just very dismissive. He spoke to her in a way that just got, I would be laying there and I would be listening to him and my blood would boil. He just no pleases or thank yous, just demands, speaking down, a condescension in his tone. So the whole package. Well, I said something to Colin and I didn't directly reference him. But as Colin and I got up to go into the pool one time, I was talking about this epidemic that we had kind of witnessed because now we're on the tail end of the trip. And I was making a reference to entitled people. But I was speaking to my husband as we got up from our chairs to walk in the pool. And I tell you about this interaction because this is the only thing other than just straight disgusting possible homophobia that could explain what happened next. So I don't know if the guy overheard me speaking to my husband and projected my words onto him, which to me rings of guilt.
You're he like, knows yeah, we were talking yeah. about you.
We actually were, but I was actually broadly speaking. Was he lumped in? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't legitimately just speaking of him.
Okay. Yeah.
So we got in the pool and we were gone from our chairs for about 30, 40 minutes. We went to a couple pools and we came back and somebody had taken an entire bundle of dirty, disgusting towels, like a whole pile of them, and laid them on Colin's chair. Like a mountain of gross, used, wet, disgusting towels and had created a mountain on Colin's chair.
was it clear that you guys, though, they were your chairs? Like, was your
very
stuff
clear.
Still there?
We had, yeah. Okay. There's a system that Disney has. Okay. You have to have your towels out. You lay items. No, I had my shoes out there.
Okay.
Our bag was there. The chairs were clearly being used. And Colin's towels were laid out over the chair.
Okay. Ugh. All
right. And then we had a bag in the middle, and our shoes were both on the chairs. And we come back, and I see this mountain on Colin's chair. And I'm looking around, and I go, the hell? Yeah. And one of the guys within this group had moved a chair kind of by us and right by the pool. And in a kind of, I want to use a different word, but I'll get fired. In kind of a prickish kind of way, he looked at me and he goes, you want to know who did that? The guy right there eating the French fries. And he laughed like it was a joke. And he was with that group. And the guy eating the French fries was the butthole. Was the guy that I had just referred to, that I just told you about. And he looked at me with his sunglasses on, and he just kept eating his fries and staring at my husband and I. And then I look around, and I'm like, I said, I'm like, what the F? I'm standing there. I go, what the F would make you do this? I'm like, and I look back at the guy who said it. I'm like, this is disgusting. I'm like, it's not funny at all. I'm like, this is just gross. And then the server came up to us. And then she shakes her head and she says, I am so sorry. And I said, no, I go, I'm sorry that people talk to you this way. And she goes, oh, they do every day. And she goes, but I'm really, really sorry this happened to you. She goes, let me get the towels. And I touched her hand. And I go, no. I don't want you to worry about this at all. I said, we will get this off. I said, and she goes, I'm just really sorry. And then she turned to look at that guy. And I'm staring at him. And the entire time, he's just shoving French fries in his mouth and staring at us, like not saying a word, but like just like staring at us with this like poop eating grin.
Did you go punch him in the face?
Oh, Lex, it took everything. But I got to tell you, there was a rush. If we were, this is how sad I am. If we were at a non-Disney resort, I would have absolutely, because I'm not a violent person. I've never actually got into a physical altercation.
No, I'm joking when I ask that.
Let me tell you.
Oops,
Lex,
I spilled my drink.
Lex, let me tell you. If we had not been at a Disney resort, because what's running through my mind is, A, I don't want to make a scene.
Yeah.
B, there were kids in that group, and I didn't want to ruin the kids. It wasn't the kids' fault.
No.
And the third thing that ran through my mind was, I don't want to be banned from Disney properties. That's truly what I was really thinking about. But I will not lie. I will not make this up when I will tell you, I'm being very honest. If we were not at a Disney resort and we were at some other, just a hotel somewhere else, I think I would have punched him. The way he looked at us, and it was just such a disgusting act.
Yeah.
To do that to my husband, I would have beaten the living hell out of him. I really would have. My temper, I have a very long fuse, but I'm not proud of it. But I would have annihilated him. I'm thinking about it now, and I was so mad. I was so angered by this.
Did you just move the towels and
stayed where you were?
Oh, you just walked away. Okay, got your stuff and moved.
Good, because there were kids.
Yeah, yeah. And no, I'm I just like, didn't know if, yeah, there was.
Yeah, we grabbed her. I looked at Colin and I go, let's leave. And a little bit of me was like, if we leave, we're kind of letting them win. But at that point, I didn't want to ruin the rest of my day.
Yeah,
I didn't want to give that butthole that power over me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I just grabbed our towels. I said, let's go to a different pool. And we did, and we had a lovely... I didn't think about it much after that.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
but it was just disgusting. Just people are gross. People are just real, real gross. So, and I could have taken them. I could have taken him. I was three times the size of him. I would have just beaten the living crap out of him. But anyway, yeah, people are so. My point is, be nice to people. Be nice to servers when you're on vacation, especially in Hawaii. Seriously, be good to people. They're working their butt off. These servers, my gosh,
yes, you're in paradise.
Yes, just be kind.
Kumbaya.
Thanks. Pleases and thank yous and may I go a long way. Don't demand things. Just simple manners.
Yes.
And the fact that I have to even say that is sad, but whatever.
Did you do any fire dancing while you were there?
I did go to a luau that I'll tell you about after the Dirt Alert.
Ooh, yes!
We're going to take a break. Holly does have the biggest stories in entertainment next. Nutrisource, a family like no other. Hi, everybody. It's Chase Live for Nutrisource, the official dog food of Dexter and Mr. Big. Oh, right before we left, we got a Nutrisource was very sweet. They sent us a little bit of kombucha wrapped up for Mr. Big. Dexter likes it, but Mr. Big loves it. Kombucha is the bone broth food topper that you hear me talk about a lot. And it comes in such a one of their containers. It zips right back up, or in the kombucha case, has a great lid that lets you save it for many, many uses. I pop it back in the refrigerator. It's so good. I'm so glad that we have it. And the minute I pull kombucha out of the refrigerator, Mr. Big goes nut, like just goes nutter butters. He knows that I'm going to pour that over his Nutrisource kibble. So if you have a picky eater in your family, try kombucha. Find Nutrisource by going to NutrisourcePetFoods.com.
Hey, it's Rocco for Crest.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
What is happening in the world of entertainment? You're going to find out in the Dirt Alert with Holly Roberts. Good morning, Holly.
Oh, Jason and Alexis, we have an update on a story now. Jason, you were gone when all of this happened. Jeremy Renner's snowplow accident.
Oh, yes.
Ooh, yeah.
I saw the pictures.
My goodness. Jeremy Renner got ran over by his snowplow that he was using in his Nevada home, nearly killed him. He's still recovering, and he said, you know, he's posting some video updates, and he said that he misses his home, his happy place. Now, he hasn't been home since he was airlifted to a hospital on New Year's Day, and he's just saying, you know what? It's a rough ride over the pass.
Whew.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the first picture that I saw.
Oh, my gosh.
He did not look good. I was very worried. I mean, that's you're hit with a snowplow. That's not like, not that you should be, not that getting hit by, a Ford Festiva is easy, but my goodness.
Right. Well, yeah, this is a big machine that he has, too, to clear that snow.
Yeah, this was a 14,000-pound piston bully snow plow.
Right over his leg.
Just, and his bod, you know.
Yeah.
So, but he is recovering. And he's sharing some updates with folks. So, you know, Jeremy Renner on the mend. But clearly, this is a long road to recovery. Oh. For Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
Sam Asghari shutting down a report that Britney Spears had a meltdown at a restaurant over the weekend. So this happened on Friday night near Britney Spears' home in Woodland Hills. That's where the restaurant is. It's called Joey. And there were reports that Britney Spears, quote, caused a scene at this restaurant. And she had some things to say to folks. And she eventually left the restaurant, but Sam Asghari went to his Instagram story, her husband, and said, "Don't believe what you read online, people."
I between Britney and Jessica Simpson, I'm just worried about both of them. I don't know. I just hope they're in a good place.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. Are you talking about Jessica Simpson pictures that came out last week when she was walking with her husband into Giorgio Baldi?
Yeah.
In the restaurant?
There's just something. I'm not shaming or body, but I can see. I have eyes, and there's just something amiss. I don't know what it is, but I'm, Yeah, I'm worried about both of them for different reasons.
Yeah. So Sam shutting things down. Now, there are lots. I mean, look.
The video. Yeah.
There's video of Britney Spears. So, again, you know, going to your point, Jason, we do have eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we did see what was happening. Clearly, not a lovely, quiet Friday night dinner for Britney Spears and Sam Asghari. And then this goes into, you know, I mean, we could go down the whole conspiracy theory rabbit hole of Britney Spears, but lots of folks say that Sam Asghari and some other people are actually controlling Britney Spears' Instagram account.
Yep,
so, of course, I've Sam Asghari would come out and say, look, nothing to see here. Don't worry about it.
Yes, yeah,
don't worry about it. Sally Field will receive the 2023 SAG Life Achievement Award at the Screen Actors Guild Award on February 26th.
Hmm.
Cool.
Well, that's appropriate.
Yes. I mean, look, Gidget, The Flying Nun, you know, Cannonball Run. What? No, Smoking the Bandit.
Smoking the Bandit.
Yes. I mean,
Steel
all
Magnolias.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mrs. Doubtfire. All sorts of things. Now, this coincides with Sally Field, her new movie, 80 for Brady.
Yeah, I can't wait to see
that. It's coming out soon. A wonderful interview with the ladies from 80 for Brady on CBS Sunday Morning yesterday.
I saw that, yes.
Yeah, so Jane Fonda, Rita Moreno, Lily Tomlin, and Sally Field all starring in this movie together.
And I know there are certain parts of the movie that are not real appropriate in this day and age, but a movie with Sally that isn't often talked about, Soap Dish. It's a cold. I love Soap Dish so much.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I love Soap Dish. Soap Dish so much. Yeah.
Let's call Soap Dish a historical artifact.
Yeah, seriously, it is.
That can be appreciated
for what it was then.
Exactly. Yeah. In that context. Yes, we talked about it at the top of the hour. Critics' Choice Award. Everything Everywhere All at Once. Look, that movie, when the Oscar nominations come out, look for that to be the front runner.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. So
and you can watch it on Showtime right now.
Yes, and you can watch it on Showtime.
It's going to win all the things.
It's going to win all the things. It's already winning all the things.
Yeah.
All the things. That's right. More stories from travels. Plus, I want to touch on one thing that I missed while I was gone, other than Jeremy Renner. That and more when we come back. So go get some more Tang, some more Hills Brothers, some more Kirkland brand coffee. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Jason and Alexis in the morning. Our third and final hour. I'm Jace with Lex and Holly. It's so good to be back with you guys. Hope you're having a good, smooth ride into work.
Hey, girl, hey.
Hi, girl, hi. We always love these days. When one of us comes back from an adventure, I have some more stories. I'll sprinkle some more tomorrow, too. But before I do another one, I did want to touch on just a couple. I mean, God, I left and some big pop culture things happened.
Yeah.
And the one that I just want to really quickly touch on, because Lord knows there were specials and magazines and our show did a lot. But the passing of Barbara Walters, that was the one where I was like, oof, I wish I could crack open the mic and I'm not going to say anything that smarter and better and more well-informed people have said, but I did kind of want to echo some of the sentiments about Barbara, because we're old enough, all three of us on our show, we really were the beneficiaries.
Oh, yeah.
We saw a lot of her impact. You know, youngins today, unfortunately, you know, she retired from The View and therefore really public life in 2014. So if you think about it, teenagers now really don't have any concept of who she is. And that's kind of what I kept thinking about. It made me sad more than her passing, because my goodness, she had a great run.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But it was just what kept coming back to me was, especially young female journalists and women in the business.
Yep.
I kept thinking, oh, God, I hope they're watching some of these specials and really realizing that Barbara quite literally built the bridge that they're walking on, because if there had not been a Barbara Walters, there wouldn't have been Katie Couric and Deborah Norville and Robin Roberts and Robin, you know what I mean? It's
absolutely.
She
her last
paved
day of the View.
Way.
Remember that just parade of journalists, women who came to give her a hug. It's remarkable. She's iconic.
Mm-hmm.
Alexis's idol, Connie Chung.
Yes.
Connie would never.
Connie Chung.
Connie would never have co-anchored the CBS Evening News with Dan Rather had Barbara Walters not endured the awfulness of Harry Reasoner on ABC Nightly News, on the ABC News.
Well, and, you know, if you want the history lesson, there are plenty of clips of what Barbara Walters had to put up with. Back in the day, there was one that was circulating where she did an investigative report about the Playboy Club.
On the Today Show.
On the Today Show. Hugh Downs sitting next to her. Just sexist as all get out. And the way that she had to maneuver that and diplomatically put Hugh Downs in his place. Oh my gosh.
And the fact that another one of her male co-hosts demanded to the bosses that she could only ask a question after he would ask three hard news questions.
Oh my gosh.
And then keeping track of the words, the amount of gosh.
And then she would be, and I'm using this word intentionally. Mm-hmm. Then she would be allowed to ask a question. And here's what's more head shaking inducing about that. That type of behavior continued into the 90s.
Yeah.
Katie Couric endured that with Brian Gumbel. Katie Couric Bryant did not want Katie speaking until Bryant would ask a question.
Ew.
And Bryant, if you look at the early days of the Today Show with Bryant and Katie, you will notice that Bryant is listed as the anchor and Katie is the co-anchor. And that didn't change until Bryant left and Katie and Matt. Katie was the one that told NBC she wanted Matt and Katie to be on equal footing so that the woman coming in after her would be on equal footing with Matt. They're both co-anchors. But again, there wouldn't be a Katie Couric without Barbara, without what Barbara had to endure at the Today Show. And then at 2020, or not so much at 2020, but she was laughed at. She was ridiculed for her Barbara Walters specials. The news department didn't take her seriously, and they should have, because those Barbara Walters specials were pulling in 20, 30, 40 million viewers.
Masterclass in interviewing.
Oh, the questions.
Yeah.
Spectacular interviewer, Barbara Walters.
Oh, yeah. She would. That's why she's kind of a verb or an adjective. Yeah. Oh, you Barbara Walters me. When a celebrity cries, it's basically called a Barbara Walters because she can make anybody cry.
Yeah,
she could get you to open up about things that you would normally never open up about. And that didn't come by accident. And the other thing that I hope young journalists take from her is it just didn't happen. She did her homework. I mean, you talk to any politician. She has a famous story. One of the stories that was told in the wonderful 2020 dedication special that was done for her on ABC. Letterman repeatedly told her no, but Barbara never took no for an answer. Barbara would ask him every year. Barbara, when she would see him at parties, when she would see him out, she was tenacious. You know, when she started at ABC, she wouldn't send a producer. She would be outside. If there was an incoming president or an incoming senator that was going to be hot for whatever reason, she would be the first journalist outside their office, waiting to get to know their press office, waiting to get to know them. She did the legwork. She did the homework. She got these interviews because she never gave up. Watching all of the specials, she was amazing. And then, I mean, come on, I didn't even touch on The View.
Oh.
You talk about a concept that changed TV. I know it's we've mentioned this before many times. You turn the dial now, whether it's a local station or a national show, and there are panel discussions on every station. You look at Fox News, The Five. You look at my station, Good Day. You look around the dial. If there's a panel of people talking, especially a panel of women, that really wasn't around on television before The View.
Yeah.
So it just, she was one of a kind.
Well, and the women too, they come to come back having the different voices, but also, you know, Whoopi and Joy, you know, the anchors on that show too, not saying that their career was over or anything like that, but it was definitely a resurgence for them.
Yes.
To go, wow, okay. And, you know, greater than 40.
Well, yep. Barbara Walters was in her 60s.
Yep.
When, 60, you're right, Holly. Thank you.
When The View launched.
Yep.
And that she reinvented television news at that stage in the game.
Yep.
Wasn't it 68, Holly? I think she, it was like mid-60s.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And was like, I'm going to come in and reinvent television.
Yep.
At 68.
Yeah.
When she could have, her career at ABC, she could have just coasted to retirement.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
Here's the original open of The View.
I had this idea for a show. Different women. Different points of view. Maybe a little too different. We call it The View.
Yep. So good. I mean, Lisa Ling. We wouldn't know, you know, Lisa Ling was catapulted to success. And Debbie Matenopoulos and Meredith got a second round. You know, Meredith was on 60 Minutes, left CBS News. Barbara gave her another, you know, another life.
Yeah.
Joy Behar was a receptionist at ABC News or at ABC at Good Morning America.
Yeah.
But it just, I mean, I, again, those words I've heard, and it was right. Katie Kirk said it. The words like icon, trailblazer are overused, but you can you can take any of those words, Lex and Holly, and put that in front of Barbara Walters' name, and it's applicable, and it's worthy, you know?
Absolutely.
So, 8:42. We're going to take a break. My luau experience.
Yes.
When we come back, stay with us. Georgia. And we're back. Jason and Alexis in the morning, hour three. On this Tuesday, January 17th, 2023, Jace with Lex and Holly. So good to be back with you.
Oh, it's fun to have you back, Jace.
Yes.
Oh, it's
glowing
so fun.
Like a fresh George Hamilton.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I do. It's hard to tell in this light. You'll see on the talk show. I am, I look like a tater tot. I do. I was like, okay.
Snack it a
half. I'm very, 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 very tanned. But it's good to be back. We always love these days because chock full of stories and experiences. I have a few more we'll get to tomorrow. Be a little bit more on format tomorrow. But the last thing today is we try to do a few new things because, again, we've been to these places before. So when we return, we do try to do some new experiences or bring new folks. Like last year, we brought my in-laws. Next year, I hope to bring my mom.
Fun.
Yeah. This year we did a luau as many times as we've been to Hawaii.
You've never done that?
We've never done a luau. We've never. And again, Hawaii means a lot to us because it's where we celebrated our honeymoon and we have friends there now. And but we've never done, not even on our honeymoon. We didn't do a luau. But we did it right because if anyone knows how to do a show, it's Disney. So we did it at Disney's Aulani Resort in Oahu. That was the island we were at. We didn't island hop. We stayed right on Oahu. We went to Lori Barghini's favorite hotel, Royal Hawaiian. And then at the end of the trip, we were at the Disney property there, Aulani, which is beautiful. It opened in, I believe, 2011. And our last night, Collins signed us up for the luau. And this was an experience. I mean, come on, it's Disney. They know how to do a show. They know how to put these things together. And it was a whole evening. I mean, you checked in, and there were different stations before dinner even started. You could learn to play the ukulele.
Ooh, did you get laid?
Oh, I got laid. Thank you. I got a temporary, I think you can see it. I got a temporary, I got a tattoo.
Oh,
I got a, yeah, which I'm leaving on my arm because I actually want to get. Yeah, I actually want to get this for real.
Do you have a tattoo?
I do not, but I'm getting ready to get my first one. This really motivated me. So I would like
get that tattoo or something different?
Something very similar to this. So I'm leaving it on my arm. Yeah.
Because does it go all the way around your arm?
It's right above your elbow. Yeah, it wraps all the way around my arm. Yeah. So, yeah, there it is. You can see it. But, nice. Yeah, I have a picture of it. If you guys go to my Instagram, the search for Jason Matheson, you can see it. But, you know, they have a tattoo station where these beautiful Menzeses will give you a temporary tattoo. Colin was laughing. There were three of them lined up.
Polynesians.
Shirtless. With skirts. And yeah.
Hey, hey.
Wow.
And Colin looks at me and he goes, "Let me guess. You would like number one." And I go, "Yep, number one's for me." So, I'm not kidding. So we're standing in line and Colin goes, "The universe, I know how this is going to go. I'm going to get a number three." Look, they were all beautiful. But like number three was like the Chris Kirkpatrick of the group. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so it was Colin's turn and Chris Kirkpatrick was the one available. And I start laughing because then I get number one and I sat down and we're laughing hysterical because this always happens. This always happens.
Oh.
So Colin gets, you know, the left. So I sit down and I start talking to him and he goes, "Which one would you like?" And I go, "That one." It's like, oh, God, you are just a beautiful man. So
you're like, "Touch my arm." Yeah. Yeah.
How many of these can you give me?
Can we do the upper thigh? Yeah.
How many body parts could you give me a tattoo on, please? But no, so it was just great.
One where they just like put like sponge water on there or did he actually draw it
on
you?
No, it's like a wrap that they wrap around your arm.
Okay.
Yeah, it was great.
Gotcha.
And then, you know, there are different stations, you know, that you, like I said, you could learn how to play the ukulele. You could learn how to dance and then the open bar and then a giant buffet full of great island foods prepared right there from fresh fish and pork and homemade Hawaiian breads and fruit until fresh fruit until the cows turn green. And then the show, two different stages, a great story of the history of the islands and the people and the history. And you really got a great appreciation for the culture, which is really, you know, I think one of the intentions of these luaus for the tourists is really to give folks an appreciation for the land that you're on and for the people there. And boy, did it. I mean, and done in a Disney, you know, done in a spectacular Disney way, because as Holly said in our second hour, about New Year's, if there's anybody that can weave a story and that can bring it to the masses, it's Disney.
Oh, yeah.
And they did that in this form. And it was gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. I'll be showing, because this isn't a visual medium, ye old radio, I'll be showing some video of it on the talk show today. So you can see it if you tune in today.
Oh, nice.
I shot some video. It's just the beautiful dancers, Lex, and the costumes and the artistry of their dance and the narrator's booming voice, you know, just the majesty of it and the rich history of the islands and the people it was great. I'm glad we did it. Now, look, do I need to do it every time? No, I think I'm a one and done luau kind of thing. Colin and I were like, okay, we're good. We've done it now. But boy, we're glad that we did. And it's well worth it. Wow. Well worth it.
Did you get up and dance?
I did, actually. I did. We all got up and danced. And I was very like unwound. I was relaxed, Jason. I was
good.
Dancing and shirtless and wearing tank tops. And I was
feeling it.
I was feeling it. I didn't care.
You're right. That vibrant music is so lively. You just want to, your body's like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm moving.
I'm doing
My hips are moving. Whoa.
Yep. You can see more pictures, like I said, on my social media. Just search for Jason Matheson. More stories tomorrow, but right now, that's going to do it today. If you're listening and you're a kid that's being bullied, you go out there and be yourself, because nobody can tell you're doing it wrong. Right, Lex?
That's right. You be you and do the hookie lao and get in that luau and do your thing. Shake that booty.
Mm-hmm.
Have a great day, everyone. We love you so much. Donna and Steve Experience next. We'll see you tomorrow. Okay.